Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Sports Bar, After Hours, wherever you enjoy listening to podcasts, ESPNRochester.com, and theradio.com app. Hey there, Gene Battaglia.
Mike Danger, how are we this evening?
We're hanging in there this evening. How are you?
Well, kind of a sports bud. All that's going on in the country right now, I think it's actually important that we have something that brings us together. You know, you and I weren't around in 1968, but I've read stories of how sports was that outlet, how one of the worst hit cities in 1968, Detroit, and there you had the Detroit Tigers making this run to the American League pennant that helped the community at the time. Right now, we don't have that. So I'm just wondering, you know, what is something that's going to bring us all together? Because what we've experienced here between the pandemic and now between the unrest that is in our country, this is just not a good time we're living in here.
Well, I don't disagree. But I always try to find a positive, even in the most negative of situations. And I feel that with each passing day where we have events like what we had this weekend in our own communities, as we continue on through the pandemic, I get closer and closer to family and to my family and to being in a space with them that I never thought I could be in while still working as hard as we work every single day. And I think if there is a silver lining to all of this, and this includes, I think, the protests from over the weekend, look, you know, it encourages you to have the dialogue with your family. It encourages you to hug your kids a little bit tighter, to explain to them that, you know, good choices and hard work will still pay off in the end. And, you know, we have sports as is a welcome distraction, and when it returns, it will be that again. But right now, in the moment, you know, I can't help but think everybody could use a little bit more time with their families, spending that time together and wisely and bonding and you know, being there for each other. And when I say family, I'm talking friends and family, your closest friends, you know, whoever you consider family. Be with those people and maybe even just reach out if you haven't and just say, hey, how you doing? Everything going okay?
Yeah. And gosh, how you know, and I'm sure this was the way it was for you and your dad bonding over the Bears. For me and my dad, it was bonding, and it still is bonding over the Buffalo Bills, deconstructing every loss, you know, whether it's baseball season now or something like that. So to go through all this, and if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're a sports fan, and not to have that at least distraction, not to have that outlet right now. And if there is one thing that I think we've also learned here to take this in a different direction, I think the NFL's got a little growing up to do here. Right before all this kind of broke, the horrific story out of Minneapolis last week, we and we talked about this, the fact that the NFL is still trying to come up with a way to make sure that their hiring practices are in line with what should happen in 2020. In other words, the best person should get the job. And they're coming up with ideas like, let's award extra draft picks if you hire a minority. I just thought that in today's age where you want to win games, you hire people that are going to help you win games, period, end of story. So why are we still talking about this in 2020? So one of the sports we really do love, and it's funny how things come full circle, Mike Danger, because when you and I went first on the air, it was
Kaepernick.
You know, yeah, it was that day. It's like, oh my gosh, we want to be this fun-loving show where we can kind of bust chops and just talk sports, have a good time, and enjoy a beer. And yeah, we're talking about police brutality and what does Kaepernick mean? Is he going about this the right way? And people were really passionate on both sides of it. But now it's funny how you give the story a few years to breathe here, and now something, I'm sorry I did that, didn't mean to do that intentionally, but you see what I'm saying, that it's a story that we have a much greater perspective here on.
Yeah, and as far as progress that's been made, you know, for all of the campaigns and all of the protests in the NFL and everything that they've said in terms of trying to work towards social justice, I don't know that it's changed. And I start to question, you know, what can be done to actually create the kind of change that's going to satiate everyone? Or is it, again, you know, do we hold ourselves a little bit more personally accountable? You know, it's a tough thing to talk about. It's a tough thing to work through. Nobody deserves to lose their life the way he lost his life. But I don't know the situation well enough to be so passionate about it that I would march, that I would protest. Again, my default mode, I guess if I'm passionate about anything in my life that much, it would be my family. And so I choose to be close to my family. I choose to have the dialogue with my family about everything that's going on so that they're informed and they can make their own choices in the world and their own decisions in the world. And I know that for a lot of people, that's missing. That's a void. And I feel bad. That's who I feel the most sympathy for, the people that don't have that to fall back on.
Well, I think one problem that we do have in this country is everybody likes to talk, but nobody likes to listen. Or we should practice listening just a little bit better. And that's kind of what I'm going to try to do here a little bit more, is just, for people with different viewpoints that have different experiences, that maybe we can just kind of take a step back and listen and see what it is we can do. There is no easy solution, and we want everything instantly. Put it in a microwave, it's done. We're not going to have sports back real quick. We are not going to have this pandemic eradicated, and we're certainly not going to have generations of this problem of racism in our country just a few weeks we're gonna be able to wipe it away. No, but we should just continue to talk about it a little bit, but more than that, just continue to listen. That would be my thing. And to your point about being with family and everything else, well, yeah, if there is a silver lining throughout this whole thing is that, yeah, most of us, we're home for dinner every night. And during the day, I do get to play catch with my son. And it's a different world we're living in. And I miss the old world. But being home here during the pandemic, it is a time back that I'm going to look back at. And I'm going to have mixed emotions about it, because I certainly love spending time with my family, as I'm sure you do too, Danger. But I'm just heartbroken as far as where our country is right now. I was heartbroken Saturday night following along online what was happening to the city that I love very much in Rochester. But I was encouraged to see the stories Sunday morning of thousands of people showing up at our baseball stadium going to clean this mess up. And that shows what our community is all about.
And you know, there are a couple of people that we know personally that were involved on Sunday morning that got up early and that were a part of that, the cleanup efforts. And they're not looking for recognition, but I'll say, you know, guys like Pat Duffy, who was chronicling on Sunday morning on social media, what he was doing and the locations he was going to and the need to help those who needed that and cleaning them up and aiding in their efforts to get back on track. It's really what makes our community, and not, you know, we're not exclusive. This is happening all across our country. It's what makes our country great. I mean, every day we could continue to dwell on the past and we could continue to play the role of victim, or we could realize that every morning we wake up with a new opportunity to make hay while the sun shines. And it's all on us to make a smart collection of choices and work hard. And usually things take care of themselves. You know, there are unfortunate things to happen to good people. Those are the real victims. And I'm not trying to trivialize anything that's happened, but you know, there's a varying degree of people who are victims. And when you are in control of the things that you can control, and bad things continue to happen to you, then yeah, you're a victim, you know. And, guys that got up early on Sunday, I tip my cap to them, because, you know, I thought I was having a bad weekend. I had to descale my Keurig. There are people out there that have to rebuild their lives because their business was shattered on Saturday night for no good reason at all.
No. And I hope some of those businesses come back. And that's what I'll try to do. I drove by that Kicks and Caps store before on West Main. Oh, that's a cool store. And now it's gone. And I don't know if he'll come back, but if he does, or another store like that, you know, Fleet Feet, Villa, any of these stores, I will go in, and, you know, those are the people that we have to support. The small businessman and small businesswoman, they are the backbone of our community.
Absolutely. And I think if we learned anything on Sunday, it's that there are more helpers out there than there are troublemakers, and the helpers will prevail. We're a strong community. And again, Rochester isn't exclusive. This is nationwide. And this didn't just happen in Rochester over the weekend. I mean, it happened all across our state. It happened all across our country. And I think what we're going to find through this is that we will, I know it's cliche, but we will come out stronger together. Have you heard that before yet? Through this pandemic, through any, we will come out of this stronger together. I mean, you know, people keep saying it, because I do believe that there is truth to that. So, you know, we will prevail and come out of this better. And again, every day is a new opportunity, Gino. And you know, you mentioned having a catch with your son. I mean, I get to spend, you know, a couple of hours each night where I wouldn't with my family, with my girls, and you know, watching shows and watching movies and learning more about what makes them tick. Because let's face it, our careers consume us. And a lot of times we're in the office, or a lot of times we're away from home. And now working from home, being apart, being present and in the moment. And at times, yes, even logging off just so you can be present in the moment. You know, it speaks to a different time, and it's a time that when we do look back and dwell, you know, it won't be, for me, it won't all be bad. It won't be like, well, the pandemic was a terrible, no, the pandemic was different. It was a different time, and different isn't synonymous with shitty. It's been an interesting learning experience. It's been uncomfortable at times, but man, do I value and cherish the extra time that I've had being around my family while they're working from home, while they're studying at home, and while I'm able to work from home. It's been an interesting time, to say the least.
I'm going to take it a little half peg down, because I work with a lot of businesses, and in the pandemic, this is the worst time we've lived in, you and I. And I think a lot of people, I think you can say that 9/11 was terrible, but this, between the economic devastation, and this is before we had all this tension here in the last week here. But I think of all the businesses that have been lost before these tensions, and before all, you know, the millions that are unemployed right now. So, yeah, to find a silver lining, I just want to just kind of tip my hat to all those, like, hey, you know, if you hang in there, all right?
Yeah. Message to them was the same message I said earlier. You know, every morning we wake up and we can make hay while the sun shines. That's what makes our country exceptional is we have these opportunities, and there are opportunities out there to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back at it. It isn't easy, but you are better in fighting through those adversities. Without gravity, you lose muscle mass, and you need a little bit of that to make you stronger and make you better. And I know that the individuals that you're talking about, the businesses that are out there that are struggling, the individuals that are out there and struggling, you know, the best ones will continue to fight on and will be better when it's all said and done.
Man, I cannot wait until we get our show back at one of our favorite establishments. You know, that's the day. I mean, I've got, like, you know, the horizon. What is the horizon? When will we get back? And is it the NFL season? Is it, my gosh, could we actually have a baseball season? What are the things on the horizon that are going to make us feel better? Or will we get to the NFL season and be like, wait a second, this doesn't feel right? They're playing in Nora Field. Nobody's there. So I don't know what the answer to that is. And that's part of it, too, is like you get a diagnosis if you have some condition. Well, do this, 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 and you should be healthy. Or do this, 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 and you'll have to live with it. Well, nobody seems to have any answers as far as what is the timeline here. And I think that's part of the unsettling.
Yeah, it is. And it's cliche as all hell. But I say it to anybody that asks, how are you doing? You know, well, I'm doing one day at a time, you know. And really, I don't know that you can do anything more than that. Every day is a new adventure. Every day, you know, presents its own set of challenges. My daughter turns 11 on Wednesday, and, you know, we've been attempting to cobble together some semblance of a get-together, a family get-together. It's really all she wants. So, you know, that, you know, presents a new set of challenges every 24 hours. And you know, everything that is going on, you know, the uncertainty is what makes getting up every day a little bit more challenging. I accept that challenge. I'm ready for it, and I try to be ready for it each and every day, and put my best foot forward. Hopefully you're doing likewise.
Yeah, and you know, if you're not happy with the way things are right now and not happy with the leadership, this is going to sound cliche too, well, you lead. Danger sounds like you're leading. I'll lead my own little kingdom here of four people here in our house.
Yeah.
And, you know, do our, you know, that's all you can do, and try to be a good neighbor, a good employee, try to be a good co-host on a podcast, whatever it is. You try to be better at what you do. If you run a mile, if you run a 10-minute mile, well, then tomorrow try to do 9:55, okay? And if you apply that logic to everything else in life, yeah, you're going to be better, and other people will recognize that. And you can't fix all the problems in the world, but you can control what you can control.
So let's look on the horizon, Gino, in the world of sports right now. Do we have anything new happening that gives us a glimmer of hope from what we've learned here over the course of the past few days since we last spoke? Do we have any action on the horizon?
I think we have something happening with baseball here, because right when we went on, before we went on, Jeff Passan, ESPN, others reporting that now Major League Baseball, this is after the players put out their proposal, which now if you took their salaries and prorated, okay, we're getting rid of the sliding scale nonsense, okay? At least that part is out, which that's a good thing, okay? But the players are saying 114 games and 70% of what they were going to make. Passan's reporting that the owners now are going to come in at 50 games and 30.8%. Now, follow me here on this, Danger. I think 50 games, baseball, whoa, that would be fantastic. But the thing about baseball is that not every game matters. Can we be honest? No, if you have pitchers coming in that are coming in from left field and throwing pitches in a Major League Baseball game, they have no business, then not every game matters in the majors. This would be a different season if you just went with 50 games. It would almost feel NFL-like. However, this to me looks like a negotiating ploy, because what's the bottom line? Players are saying 70. Owners are saying 30. Well, I don't think you have to be an expert in negotiations to realize meet halfway, and that's probably where the players will get back to, which would be 52, 53, somewhere along those lines of the percentage. And it won't be 114 games, and it won't be 50. It'll be right somewhere in the middle, somewhere around 75 to 80, I would anticipate, and that would be okay too. But at least now we have some honest negotiation going on, because as you pointed out to me years ago, Danger, what do you need to get a deal done? You need a deadline.
Yeah.
Here we are. You are June 1st, okay? You want to play in July? Well, you need pitchers 3 weeks to warm up. Here we are. You got to get a deal done by the end of the week.
And catch me up on this, Gino, because I get bored with the baseball players and owners negotiating because I feel like we go through this all the time. And for whatever reason, good or bad, it feels like the baseball players union is the most selfish out of all of them, that they're always going to negotiate, that nothing ever comes easy in baseball. They're, you know, I feel like, you know, when there's work stoppages and strikes, it's because, you know, it's always baseball is top of mind for me, more so than football, more so than basketball. It's always more so than hockey. It's always baseball. It's like, what is it? And so was there a time and place here during this stoppage where the players were going to get their regular salaries, but a prorated version of their salaries, and now that's off the table, and that's been off the table, correct?
No, that's coming back on the table. So okay. what the owners wanted to do was, hey, you're Mike Trout, and I don't have the exact numbers here, but just, you know, follow me. Like, if Mike Trout was going to make $20 million, okay, now Mike Trout being one of the highest paid ones, you're going to make $4 million. But somebody that's making the minimum, you're only going to get a 20% pay cut. So
based on the amount of games per season.
Yeah. So it that doesn't really work for anybody either. You should just have the cuts evenly across the board. If you're a union, doesn't want to treat anybody differently. You're a union. All right. So, but to me, that's going to be the key here, is that if you go back to the prorated thing, the sliding scale thing was nonsense, but I was surprised to kind of learn this, though. We think of baseball being this disaster when it comes to labor negotiation. You know, they've had the longest peace. If you count the one preseason game the NFL missed in 2011, the Hall of Fame game, if I made my mistake, wasn't that your Bears there and the Rams? Or I think that was it, but you missed one preseason game. That was it. Certainly hockey had their problem of missing a whole season. The NBA missed half a season back in 2000. You got to go back to the 94 strike. But the thing about the 94 strike was that pissed a lot of people off, that here you were just wasting a whole season. And for what? In the end, it didn't matter that much. You know, there's nobody in a decision-making role in baseball now that, you know, it can relate to that. But I hope that, you know, if people look back in history, how damaging that was to the sport. Because if you go away, people will find other things to do.
Well,
they will.
And don't you feel like that might be kind of what's happening right now with all of the stoppages, with everything being on hold? That and this is what makes me nervous about sports when it does return. Will we just kind of be reprogrammed to fill the gaps in time that we've had, where we used to enjoy watching sports? We've filled it with other things, other passions, other hobbies. Hell, I've got so many projects done around the house, Gino, not being distracted by sports. I live in a palace all of a sudden. I didn't know I had this in me. You know, is it possible that the idea that sports have been gone for as long as they've been gone, that when they return, it might be with less fanfare than we actually believe? I don't really believe that. I think we're going to actually overdose at the buffet table, and you're going to have a hard time pulling us off of our couches once it does get, especially football season, especially if football season is a go. But, you know, there is a part of me that applies what you're mentioning, that logic of that player's strike from Major League Baseball that really, really hurt the game.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, once upon a time, the city of Rochester was the hotbed of LPGA tour and the major and everything. And they went away, and now what? You know, it's like, nobody talks about it. Couldn't tell you who won the most titles last year on that tour. Out of sight, out of mind. I think here's what's going to happen. I think, we talked about this right before the pandemic happened, is that some things are going to go away and they won't come back.
Yeah.
You might, minor league baseball right now, and thank goodness the Red Wings are, you know, from all I read, they're on solid ground. But minor league baseball, when baseball comes back for a full 162, and you hope that's next season, it's going to look completely different. Rob Manfred, in a perverse way, is going to get his way.
Well, can I stop you real quick, Gino? Yeah. Because if they do a shortened season and they see in that shortened season that there's more interest in the game than they've had since they went through the damaging strike years, what would prevent them? What would stop them from saying, let's keep it short. Let's, you know, let that might be the thing that makes them evolve to what a lot of us have been saying all along. Like, hey, your season's too long, too many meaningless games. The games need to speed up. Let's shorten it. Let's condense it. The NFL has it right because it's only 17 weeks plus the playoffs, and it's gone in a blink. What would prevent baseball or any league from shortening their season if they see success when they return to play under shortened circumstances in a pandemic?
Well, could you convince owners to, and the players union for that matter, to take two steps forward, to take three steps back? Or, you know, look, you would have to take a step forward, step backward to get two steps forward.
I don't know, Gene. I feel like, you know, this happens in industry all the time, right? Like after 9/11, the airlines were devastated, yet, and a lot of them went away. And maybe that's what it would take. Maybe it would take some contraction. Maybe you would see some teams, you know, suffer. But eventually, you work out your numbers, you scale everything the way it needs to be scaled, and then you end up being extremely profitable when it's all said and done. And till the next thing happens, and the airlines again going through a really tough time right now. But again, I think once it's all said and done, you know, bailout will probably help them stay afloat, but eventually you'll see them rescale everything to a point where they can be insanely profitable the way they've always been. And I wonder if that's the same thing with professional sports owners. There's a different level of greed there, I think. So I hear what you're saying, and I don't know that they would be willing to take that kind of haircut or to make that kind of sacrifice for long-term game or for the pleasure of the fans. But the world is changing, and I don't know that you're going to see, especially on the heels of a pandemic, I don't know that you're going to see sellout crowds in Pittsburgh, in Cincinnati, in Tampa, certainly. You know, like a lot of these clubs are going to suffer just by turning on the lights every night.
Yeah, and they do this so that their TV partners will still have to write the check, and that's where it comes from, because baseball is so set in their ways. The 162 game season dating back to 1961. You know what they didn't have in 1961? Television money. Well, they did have television, but the money wasn't enough. You why did you play 162 games? So you could sell tickets on 81 of those dates. So you could sell beer and hot dogs and everything else on 81 of those dates and advertise. No, the money right now comes from you and I and everybody else sitting at home watching those games. But are owners really going to give away, you know, and baseball is such a number sport. As a players union, when you're measuring things, when it comes to the Hall of Fame, rah, 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 can somebody actually get the 3,000 hits if you're only playing 50 games? Rah, 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 rah. Yeah, so it's a nice concept. It will never, ever happen. What baseball should focus on is making sure that the game is played in 2 hours. Please. This is the way it was back then. We don't need to be sit. I don't have 4 hours.
I'm not greedy. I take three. I'll split the difference. Give me three and I'll be happy.
Okay. That's fair. But like you said, if it ends up being a 50-game season that starts, say, in August, and we get to the postseason, I think it's going to be unbelievable. If every game really means that much, it'll have an NFL style feel to it. It might be that little bit of a silver lining here, but who knows? And then of course, danger. The other side of this is maybe the owners and the players really get pigheaded. They walk away and there's no season at all. Right. That's always a possibility too.
Sure. And we're hearing, at least I've been hearing, that there may be some sort of an announcement from the NBA at some point this week. Although, given all of the unrest in our country right now, that might be the furthest thing from their minds. We'll kind of continue to develop or watch and develop, see how that story develops here, and keep you all updated on that as well. In the meantime, I've been reduced to playing Streak on my ESPN app. I'm happy to report that I'm up to 2 wins in a row, and go Red Bull Leipzig in the German Bundesliga, because they were big winners today, 4-2 over FC Cologne, leading me to my second win in a row in ESPN Streak. This is what I've been reduced to, Gene. This is what I have left. This is the action that I have to deal with right now.
Well, to answer your question from earlier, I think what would be the thing if you have all their interests? Oh, I don't need sports. Okay. You're probably wired to have a little bit of action. Fantasy football, you're really going to walk away from fantasy football. You're really going to walk away from action. When basketball comes around in March, you're really going to walk away from that because you took up homebrewing. I don't think so. I mean, at least that's what's going to keep you coming back for more is the action. And let's be honest, the camaraderie. Fantasy football, you know, the camaraderie is great, especially when you're the champion in two of Mike Danger's leagues. Just get that.
We won't talk about your performance in the first ever inaugural Sports Bar Guillotine League, however. We will not be doing that. there is something to look forward to. You're right.
We gotta have two. If you made it this far in the podcast, I think we have two guillotine leagues next year. We have the one on air guillotine league, and then we have the one we don't talk about on there.
That's right. That's right. And both unsanctioned guillotine leagues, by the way. None of them sanctioned by our current employer. Good stuff, Gino. I look forward to those days. I can't wait. I hope that we get there. I hope that you know, the change isn't so drastic that it ruins our enjoyment of you know, listen, something that's just part of our fabric. It's part of our DNA. It's how we were raised. It's how we grew up. We love the competition. We love the drama. We love the players and everything that they stand for, most of them, and just the unbelievable things that happen in a competitive field of play or a sheet of ice or a basketball court, whatever it might be. We're lacking it right now, and I think it would be a big part of the healing process for our nation as a whole. So, you know, we keep our fingers crossed that there is some action here nearby on the horizon.
Yeah. And I'm positive. My lawns never look better.
I mean, Oak Hill over here. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, Oak Hill. I was wrenching on my car this weekend. I got some yard work done. You know, I hung a new ceiling fan in the covered patio, Gino. And like I said, I live in a mansion now, in a palace. It's like a brand new home. I don't even know. I don't even recognize it anymore when I come home from my dad runs every morning.
Do a little power washing. Nothing makes
power washing satisfying. I ripped up my garage floor and power washed. I had vinyl tiles on my garage floor that I ripped up a few weeks back, and I hit it with the power washer, and there's nothing more satisfying than watching that power washer just scrub away all the grime. Yes, hit the siding with the power washer and let all that grime from the years and the dirt and the dust just fall down. Nothing better. Yes, all of these things are happening. And again, these are the things that right now are taking the place of what we would probably normally be doing with our time watching sports. I'm ready for the buffet. I can't wait.
Yeah, so be a lawn snob, get in the power washing, learn to hang a ceiling fan. These are the things that can help you know, find a satisfying life here in the interim.
Well, that and bourbon. Lots of bourbon. Gino, lots of bourbon. Take my advice. All right, Gino, let's part ways for now and return back to our little slice of heaven here in the sports bar after hours later this week. What do you say?
Sounds good, buddy.
All right, Gino, Gene Battaglia there, Mike Danger here. Appreciate you listening here in the sports bar after hours, ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app, and wherever you enjoy podcasts. Thanks again. Download, rate, subscribe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you again later this week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.